I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this day. I believe you are. You can tell your neighbor, I'm glad to see you in church this day. Amen. Amen. And as people are busy preparing for Christmas, others are already gone on holidays, but we are here. And we are going to rejoice in the presence of the Lord, because Christmas is time to celebrate God's gift to mankind. But I want us to reflect on the goodness of the Lord. It's along the same lines that we've already started, like part four of God Cares and His Concern. But we'll dwell specifically on something today that relates to how God loved us so much that we are in a privileged position. Tell your neighbor, you've got a privilege. You are in a privileged position. The book of John, chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. Mr. MJ, you will do it for us in the Message translation. Because I want us just to first look at this love that has made us who we are today, that has given all of us a new lease in life. It doesn't matter if you were written out of. It doesn't matter what your background, what you did. Jesus came to restore you to your original purpose. Amen. So let's look at that, John 3, 16 to 18 in the Message translation.
This is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed.
Okay, I want you to look at the reasons why God loved us so much and He gave us His Son. One, it's so that no one need to be destroyed. Now you can look at that destruction. There is a future destruction of course coming, with people spending eternity in hell. But there is also currently destructions that are going around among us, people being destroyed, because the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So He says, Jesus loved us so much that God loved us so much that He gave Jesus to come and die for us so that no one will be destroyed. Mm-hmm.
By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was.
You see, so many people, when you want to share with them the gospel, when you want to tell them God loves them, they keep on saying, but I don't think, I think I need to first sort out certain things. I don't think I deserve that. I still have this problem. He says, Jesus did not come to point out how bad you are. Amen? It's like telling a drunkard how bad he is, and he's drunk and he will die, his liver will fail and all that. You're not helping him. He's already in trouble. You're just finishing him. So Jesus did not come to point to the world how bad they are. So if you are a child of God, don't keep on pointing how bad other people are, because Jesus did not come for that. Continue.
He came to help, to put the world right again.
So that's why I've got all the reasons to celebrate this Christmas time. I know Jesus came. He came to help, to put things right again. Continue.
Anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted.
Okay. So when you are acquitted, this is a legal term, isn't it? You are acquitted. So being acquitted doesn't necessarily mean whether you did it or not, but if you are acquitted, they are saying not guilty. So anyone who believes in Jesus is declared not guilty. It's not about whether you did it or you didn't do it. You are acquitted. So it means if I'm in Christ, I'm acquitted. No guilt verdict. The judge has spoken. Amen? So it means We do not make ourselves look good. We do not make ourselves look better. We believe in him and we are acquitted. Now we start this new life, living the lives that please God. Continue. But if you don't believe,
anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it.
Okay, again, another legal term. You are sentenced already. So, if you believe, you are acquitted. If you don't believe, you are sentenced. But you see that the decision is not on the judge. It's not up to the judge. It's about you. If you believe in him, you are acquitted. If you don't believe, you are sentenced already without knowing it. Mm-hmm.
And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one of a kind Son of God when introduced to him.
Yeah, so when you hear the word, when you hear us telling you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, accept him so that you will be acquitted. Then you know you are not sentenced. There's no such thing as, I usually tell you this, some of you make the job of pastors very difficult. When you are dead, in your funeral, pastors have to look for something to try and open ways for you, open doors for you. There is no such thing as open ways after you die. They can try and please you relatives. No, he's resting, he's in the bosom of Abraham, he's in the good place now. You are not the judge. The judge says, those who believe in Jesus are acquitted. Those who do not believe are sentenced already. Don't ask your neighbor, are you acquitted or are you sentenced? Because we just have to believe in Jesus. Then he will sort out everything. And if you are in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21, New King James Version. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I like anyone. I like it that anyone has the opportunity to be in Christ. And if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. I usually like saying you can renovate an old building and it looks new, but it's not new. It's renovated. So tell your neighbor, I'm not renovated, I'm new. So it's a new creation. Bible scholars say that word new creation is the word a new species of being. Like you are a species that didn't exist before. So it means when those who want to accuse you about what you did before you know Jesus, they are accusing the wrong man. Because this one is a new creation. All things have passed away. And all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. You see, he's not coming to point fingers at you. And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, verse 20. This is what we're going to focus more on today. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Tell your neighbor, you are sitting next to an ambassador. Tell your neighbor, you are privileged. To sit next to an ambassador. And it's not just an ambassador of an ordinary country. It's an ambassador for Christ. Because of Jesus' love. Because of his love, I've got this position now that I'm an ambassador. Okay? So ambassadors, they have their own country, but they are deployed. to a foreign land. So even us, do you want to know which is my country? Do you want to know my citizenship? Mr. MJ, just go to Philippians 3:20, NIV. Tell us our citizenship. Because if you know our citizenship, then you need to look at me in line with where I come from. If somebody is an American ambassador, whether it's in South Africa or anywhere, they remain an American. Amen? They've got all the privileges of Americans. So, which citizenship am I, Mr. MJ? Philippians 3:20 NIV.
But our citizenship is in heaven.
Oh. Say, oh. Did you know that? Our citizenship is
in heaven.
In heaven. That's my real home. Amen. Our citizenship is in heaven. So we are eagerly awaiting our Savior to come from there, Jesus Christ our Lord. But our citizenship is in heaven. So if I am a citizen of heaven, I want to ask you a question. Don't you think my provision should come from my own country? Don't you think in our country we should also have our own health system? Don't you think in our country we should also have our own defense system? Okay? So I'll give you the first two, just quickly refer to a verse. But the third one, I want us to dwell on that today, the ministry of angels. Okay? Angels are your guardian. They're your guards. They're the soldiers. We're going to spend more time on that. So it means, even though we're talking about part four of this caring, but you can make it simple and call it guardian angels. So before I get to that one, so let me just give you the verse for the two. So if you look at Philippians 4:19, it says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That is our economic department. And in our country, we don't get more by not giving. We get more by giving. In our country, we give tithe. We give offerings. We bless the Lord with our substance. That's in our country. I don't know about in your country. Some of you are so much immersed in this world, you have forgotten that you are ambassadors. You are living like people of the world. The Bible says, do not be conformed to the standards of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to think along the lines of your kingdom. In our country, we also have our own health system. Not talking about the American health system, the South African health system, or any other system. I'm talking about, if we are citizens of heaven, I also need to know how we get healed in our country. Exodus 15:26, EXB, the Expanded Bible. He said, you must obey, listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what he says is right. It's right in his eyes. If you obey all his commands, his statutes, his ordinances and requirements, and keep his rules, I'll not bring on you any of the sicknesses or diseases that came upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. In the expanded version, it puts in brackets, I am the Lord your physician. I am the Lord your doctor. So why I like our country's health system is that with Jesus, there is no such thing as incurable disease. You know, in the world's health systems, there are incurable diseases, isn't it? And you know, in the world health systems, somebody may be a specialist of that, but not of that. So it means you need so many healers in the world. Some of you even go to Inyangas. But I've got the one healer, and he handles it all. Amen? He does not need a referral. He does not refer. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. That's our health system. But today we're not dwelling on our health system. We want to dwell on our defense system. Amen? So we're talking about guardian angels. In John 17, 15 and 16 NIV, Mr. MJ, I want to show you that even when Jesus left the earth, when he was praying for his disciples, he acknowledged that we are in this world, but we are not of the world. So, but when we are in this world and we are not of the world, he then asks the Father to protect us in this world. Don't you know that in this world we need protection? Some of you are even scared to travel now because it's Christmas time. You think you might just get involved in the accident and you die. But in our country, we've got our own defense system. And the good thing with the defense system of heaven is that, again, unlike the health system of the world, now, unlike the defense system of the world, you need a specific defense for a specific thing. Not one thing can defend you from everything in the world, isn't it? The other time I told you an easy example of a gun, and I told you if the gun can shoot an accident. So when a big truck is coming and it wants to kill you, the gun doesn't help. Soldiers don't help. Police don't help. But in the Lord, I want to show you today, so when we're going to talk about the guardian angels, the ministry of angels, you're just going to see how exciting it is to be a child of God. To know that wherever I go, I'm covered. Amen? And look at it in John 17, 15 and 16 NIV. We're starting there.
My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one.
Okay, what is Jesus' prayer? It's not that you take them out of the world. Even though our citizenship is in heaven, we still have work to do here. So his prayer is not that we be taken out of the world. But what is his prayer? That he should do what?
Protect them from the evil one.
Protect them from the evil one. That's Jesus' prayer. So that's why I'm protected. Jesus prayed for me. He said, I do not pray that you take them out of the world. I pray that you protect them from the evil one. It means there is an evil one here on earth, isn't it? There is the thief who comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. All the dangers and calamities that you hear about, there is an evil one. Okay? And the evil one can use any means to want to destroy you. But Jesus says, I pray. And my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but is that you protect them from the evil one. So, the main defense system. So when you read, we were singing that song, Jehovah is your name, mighty warrior, great in battle. Is there in Exodus 15. That's the song that Miriam sang after the Israelites were rescued and the Egyptians were destroyed in the Red Sea. So if you read Exodus 14, you will see how when the Egyptians were chasing the Israelites, it looked like the Israelites were defenseless. And when Moses pointed the Red Sea, it parted, and then the Israelites started getting in and started moving. But the chariots were coming behind them, soldiers, with all the armaments. And the Israelites did not have the armor. Okay? But the Egyptians were coming well armed with all their chariots. The Israelites were just walking. And those ones were coming with all their chariots. But as they got into the Red Sea, I like the drama in Exodus 14. It says, as they got in, they started feeling that their chariots were getting heavy. They couldn't pull well. And the wheels of their chariots started falling off. You know, we're taking those wheels out, the angels. So as they were falling off, they said, the Egyptians cried, their gods are fighting for them. Because they realized this is not ordinary. And can I tell you, that is the same God who fights for me. The very God who drowned the Egyptians is the God who fights for me. Amen. Wherever I go, you know, in this world, usually if you are an, we call it VIP protection. If you are an important person in the community, especially in the political circles, then you've got an entourage that accompanies you. Do you know that I also get accompanied wherever I go? Psalms 34:7, Mr. MJ, NIV. And you will see that's why I'm not afraid. Because where I'm going, I'm well covered. You may not see it with your natural eyes. You remember the story of Elisha when the enemies wanted to, because he would always tell the king of Israel the plans of the Syrians. By the way, you can see that the Bible is real. When you look at all the things in the world that's coming on today, you still read those countries, those things. Now you want to tell me this is not real? Okay. So, when the Syrians, so the king of Syria thought, why is it that all the secrets that we speak, the king of Israel knows? There should be somebody who is a spy here among us. One of the seven said, no, it's not a spy. There is just a prophet in Israel. And then they planned to go with the soldiers to go and capture him. So they went with their soldiers. So the Bible says when they woke up in the morning, Elisha and his servant, they were surrounded by chariots and chariots of the enemy's armies that were coming to capture them. And the servant of the man of God said, what are we going to do? They are here, they are going to capture us. And he was afraid. Listen to what the man of God says. The man of God's answer was, do not be afraid. There are more with us than there are with them. I mean, this guy lived in the Old Testament and understood the ministry of angels very easily. He did not have to see the angels to believe that the angels were there. He said, don't be afraid. There are more with us than there are with them. And then he said, Lord, open this servant's eye, my servant. And then the eyes of the servant were opened, and the servant saw chariots of fire and all the angelic hosts ready to defend the man of God. And then the man of God said, strike this man blind. And the man was smitten blind. They were captured instead of them capturing Elisha. But when he said there are more of us than there are with them, somebody would have said, but you are only two. So tell your neighbor, don't miscalculate, I'm not alone. Yeah, because the enemy miscalculated there. He thought we're going to capture them, not knowing that I'm well covered. So Mr. MJ, Psalms 34:7, NIV.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them.
Oh, did you see that? The angel of the Lord encamps around me who fear the Lord, and he delivers me. But you've got to walk in the fear of God. Amen? So as I fear God, the angel protects me. So in Hebrews 1:14, it reaffirms the same thing. Hebrews 1:14 says, NIV, are not all angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So it means for me, or for us who are children of God, we've got, because our citizenship is in heaven, we also have got our own defense system. And the angels are like the soldiers in our kingdom. Amen? Yeah, you will see this. So haven't you heard this terminology in the Bible? When you read your Bible, you will hear God somewhere being referred to as the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of the armies of Israel. So which armies are those? Angelic host. Amen. So Psalms 91, verse 1 to 16, NLT, I will not read it, will not read all of it. But this is one of very good psalms that you can help yourself with. Again, David lived under the Old Testament, but he understood the protection of the Lord. He understood, let me read it quick. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly diseases. This one about protecting you from every trap. I'll give you an example toward the end of how also the enemy had almost like plotted to kill me. But the Lord rescued me. And when he says he will protect us from every trap, he rescues us. So even the enemy, whatever the enemy is planning against your life, the Lord wants to rescue you. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. I like saying, those of us from rural areas, we know the chicks, little chicks with the hen. Once the hen makes a sound, the little chicks run and they are safe. They are covered under the wings of the mother. You can say the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run unto it and they are safe. So it's as if those little chicks are saying the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Run and they are safe. So he says he covers us with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Don't be afraid of terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Don't dread the diseases that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Now, 7. Though 1,000 may fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. That's the promise for me, and I take it. Some of you, you're taking so much news, you don't take these promises. That's why you get what happens in the news. But if we say, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 may fall on the other side, but it will not come near me. You've got to say it, because faith speaks. You don't say faith is my private matter and you keep quiet, because the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So you've got to let that sword go. Amen. Just open your eyes and see how wicked are punished. Verse 9. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come nigh your home. Now, how does God protect us? Verse 11. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. Now you want me not to believe this. I believe God. That's why I believe this. Amen. Yeah, I believe God. That's why I believe this. It says he will order his angels to protect me wherever I go. They will hold up you up in their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stove. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. And the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I'll protect those who trust in my name. Do you trust in the name of the Lord? Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Verse 15. When they call on me, I will answer. And I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. So that's why, for me, I'm not only believing God for protection, for healing, I'm also believing God for long life. There's no rush. I know our citizenship is in heaven, but there's no rush. We'll spend eternity with the Lord anyway. So why hurry? As if the time with the Lord will be very minimal. That's eternal. So you can as well take a bit of a time with us here. But it comes as you trust what God has said. So when God says, I will satisfy you with long life, speak it for over yourself. Say, I thank God that God is giving me long life. You know, there's even this promise, it's repeated also in Ephesians. It's in the Old Testament. It says, when you respect and honor your parents, there's a promise also with that, where you will live long on the earth. So we can live long on the earth. We can live protected. We can live in divine health. Now, I want to give you, I'll give you two examples. The one that I referred to you was in the Old Testament, the angelic protection that I didn't read with the story of Elisha. But I want to tell you, to give you one example in the New Testament, one in the Old Testament, and one I'll give you my personal example. Then we've got a case made. Amen. At the other time, I was invited. I was preaching at a healing revival at Pastor Luke's revival. So after preaching, after talking, he said, "Comrade, the case is made." It's almost like, you see, the way that we preach, especially the ministry of a teacher, we teach you in a way that at the end you can't argue the case. It's clear. The case is made. So look, Acts chapter 12, verse 5 to 15 NIV. So we're going to look at Peter and the ministry of angels in the life of Peter and how Peter was delivered by an angel. Then I'll go to the Old Testament, then I'll come back to my own personal example, then the case is made. That we are not only telling you theory of the things that we are saying, we are giving you practical examples of things that do happen. So that you can also believe God and trust God for your protection. Acts chapter 12, 5 to 15 NIV. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, it's after Herod had just killed James. Now he wanted to also kill Peter. Before he was brought to trial, Peter was sleeping between the two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. You see how he did not have a chance in the natural. Bound, and then with chains. And then he would be between two soldiers, and then there were sentries standing guard at the entrance. Now you are Peter, you are alone. You are not even armed. How do you defeat them? Verse 7. Suddenly. Tell your neighbor, suddenly. If I was an evangelist, I would make a message out of suddenly. You know, we've got different anointings. Evangelists, they can just take that word, suddenly. And it's a nice message. Okay? Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. I mean, the angel is saying, "Peter, let's go." And then Peter's hands were tied, and the feet were tied. So, the Bible only says that the chains fell off. It doesn't tell us whether what happened to them. But I'm allowed to guess the angel was able to break those and then they just fell off. It's not in the Bible. You can also just assume what happened so that the angels must the chains must fall off. So I'm assuming. But the fact of the matter is the chains fell off. The angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your clothes around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of prison. Okay? So the Bible first told us about the soldiers, isn't it? Told us about how he was tied. Told us that even to the entrance, there were a sentry of protectors to go out. And look, just with one angel. I like how the angelic hosts are so powerful. You need one. One. It's enough. Okay? He says, "Follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of prison. But he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. So what do you do now? You come into the iron gate. Do you need some grinder? Huh? I mean, don't you think the same power that made the chains to fall off can break the iron gates? Huh? Yeah. Now, when they came to the iron gate, what happened? Mr. MJ?
Wait.
Okay, I'll read it. It opened for them by itself, and they went through. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know, without a doubt, that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me." Did you see that? "Now I know, without a doubt," it's not theory. "I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the Herod's clashes and from everything that the Jewish people were hoping would happen." So, the Lord disappointed the enemies of Peter, and he will disappoint your enemies too. Amen. Whatever plans that they have made against you, they will not succeed. Amen. Amen. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. Amen. Any tongue that raises up against you in judgment will be condemned. He says, "For now I know, without a doubt, that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me." Now listen. I want to take this story further. Now you will see. Verse 12. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. They were praying for Peter. You know, when we started, it says prayers were made. They were praying that he gets out of prison, but when he got out, they didn't believe it. It's because they couldn't know how it would happen, but they were praying anyway. So, she came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You are out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, what did they say? What did they say? They knew that He has an angel, this man. So maybe it's not him, maybe it's his angel. You've got your own personal angel if you are a child of God. Amen? I've got mine. Amen? Imagine if you were waiting for my angel to come and protect you when he's still busy with me. You need to have your own personal one. So believe in the Lord, your God, and he will give his angels charge over you. You will have your own. Now, let's look at this one in the Old Testament, Daniel 6. 19 to 23, New King James Version. So, again, I want to show you now how the angels, actually it's one. It's one at a time. You just need one. Yeah, one. Daniel 6, 19 to 23, New King James Version. Then the king arose. So, it was the time when Daniel was accused, and they, because he was praying, then he was taken to, they said he should be thrown into the den of lions so that the lions must devour him. So Darius the Mede, the king of the Medes, he didn't want Daniel to be devoured by the lions, but he had already signed that whoever makes a petition within the next 30 days without getting permission from the king to their god, they should be thrown into the den of lions. So Darius, even though those people who had made that trip when Daniel was to be taken in, Darius in his heart, the Bible says he spent the night, he had sleepless night. He just wished if God could just protect him. He didn't know how. Now, early in the morning, to show that the king was restless the whole night. Verse 19. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, I like this, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God, what did my God do? Sent how many angels? Just one is enough. My God sent his angel and shut the mouth of one lion. The lion's mouth, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. So he sent his angel. So the reason why those lions were hungry, they wanted to eat. But now they throw Daniel because you can't eat him. Amen? You can't eat him. Because this same God is the same God, by the way, who with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace, the Bible says fire had no power over the bodies of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It could not even singe their hair. And their clothes would not even smell like fire. That's how God protects. Amen? That's why I believe. He's the same God, isn't it? Yeah. So this one who closed the mouth of lions so that they have not hurt me. Now verse 23. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. So you can also believe in your God and no injury will be found on you. Believe in your God. Trust him. And to show you that those lions were real lions. It's like the fire. You know the fire where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not burned? The people who plotted that fire against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. They were burned. Now this one here, the lions, having fasted, hey, I think now they were even more hungry. Because they did not eat Daniel, not because they were full. It's because their mouths were shut. Now, the king commanded that those people who made a trap for Daniel should be thrown into the lion's den. Now you need your God if you are going to the lion. Now all of a sudden, the Bible says those, they did not even reach the ground. All of a sudden, the mouth of lions can devour again. Why? Because this one doesn't have a covenant. So I've got a covenant with God, I cannot be devoured. Tell your neighbor, I've got a covenant with God, I cannot be devoured. Yeah, the ones without a covenant, just before they even landed, and broken to pieces. And the lions devoured them. So, but for us, we are protected. We are preserved. So, Exodus 20 to 23 NIV. Then I'll give my personal example so that you can see this. Yeah, I'll do that and do Matthew 18:10. And then I'll give my personal example because I want you to understand this, that angels are real. Even Peter said, I know it's real that the Lord has sent his angel. Because sometimes you don't understand. You know, there is this thing where I used to give this example more to say that you need to always acknowledge what God is doing. You don't have to wait first to be in an accident for the car beyond repair. But do you know that sometimes when a car is beyond repair and the car is broken like that and a person still comes out well without even a scratch, what do you think happened? Huh? I believe the angel has rescued you. Amen? Because with our naked eyes, when we look at that, there is no way you should come out alive. Isn't it? Now, Exodus 23:20 to 23 NIV. See, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I've prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Don't rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and I will oppose those who oppose you. Verse 23. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land. So, the angels are always given charge of us to go ahead of us. Now, Mr. MJ, read for us Matthew 18:10 in the Message translation. And because I'm putting my argument, I want to conclude my case by showing you that indeed you've got a personal angel. I've got mine. You've got yours too. But you've got to walk in the ways of the Lord so that your angel doesn't feel bound from helping you. You know, we usually say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So, we shouldn't go there. Sometimes you go to those places where you shouldn't be going. And it's not good for your angel. So you need to be obedient to the Lord. Matthew 18:10 Message.
Watch that you don't treat a single one of these childlike believers arrogantly. You realize, don't you, that their personal angels are constantly in touch with my Father in heaven.
Don't you realize that? They are what?
Personal
angels. are constantly in touch with the Father. Amen. My personal angel is constantly in touch with the Father in heaven. And the Father gives charge, orders my angel to preserve me wherever I go, so that I will be protected wherever I go. That's why I do not fear. I'm not afraid of the enemy. We travel without any fear. Amen. Next time when you travel, just know that the angel of the Lord encamps around you, especially when you are living right before God, because you are not opening doors for the enemy. Okay? You can claim your birthright as a child of God. Okay. I think I shared this example with some of you, something that happened. Yeah, this thing of trying to fix things even when you are not. You see, we must just learn to call people. So there was this problem with our door. Those of you who know Plattekloof, the place where we were staying, there was that big wooden door, the one which takes 3 cars. And it's all wooden. And the weight of that thing should be easily over 300 kilograms. And you know, they've got blocks. You know that. So now, it had a problem. It was something went wrong on it and all that. And then we called Mr. Nork. Mr. Nork is not here, but he was there, and with blessing. So because it was hanging, you see, part of it was pulled up and then it was hanging and leaning like this to the side. And then they were trying to just see if they can get it back to its rails with those strings there. Then because the rail, at the bottom here, there was a place where there was no nice space for the rails to come in. So it means then I was preparing the place where the thing, when it's sorted, it should come to the rails nicely. So my head was there. I don't know what happened, but I just see that the enemy had really organized to kill me. So somehow, and it was dark. So those load shedding moments. You know load shedding? Yeah, it was dark. But why were we doing that when it was dark? I mean, sometimes when the enemy wants to kill you, it just makes you do funny things, man. But I mean, now I'm trying to think, why did we do that? Okay. Now, I don't know what happened, but one of those strings on the one side, the one that was pulled up, you know when a heavy door, like a 300 kg door, falls, it doesn't fall like this. It just went, you see, when it fell, then the other part, because it's like, you know, they are in, so it's got to flap up. So it went like, then there was no way that as a human being, firstly, I didn't know it was falling and my head was here. There was no way, there was no speed that I could do to get my head out of there. So Blessing and Mr. Norke were here at the back because they were tall, trying to work there. My head was down here. When that thing went like this, I was just flapped like this, like the things that you guys see in the movie. So my head was here, flapped like this. And then my head was now against Blessing and Mr. Norke. Mr. Norke, sorry, Pastor. Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? I said, the door did not touch me. It did not touch me. But I couldn't, I mean, that thing, we usually see movies, isn't it? You know that your head is here. Because you've got to go in split second. Because that thing is coming exactly where my head was. Then I was just thrown back like this. Then I was back on him, on them. And I realized, no, the enemy, whatever snares that he puts, I'm well covered. If he failed to kill me there, he will never get another opportunity like that. Amen. 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 So the ministry of angels is real. They are there to protect us, even in a supernatural way. Sometimes you won't even be seeing it, but sometimes you will see it. For me, that was the literal experience that I had. But even beside that experience, I know they protect me anyway, isn't it? But it's also nice sometimes to have those moments. Now I understand when some people give a testimony to say, I survived from a car that's beyond repair. Now I can understand a bit why they are excited. Because sometimes those moments are a bit exciting. Even though we know God's power is always there, we don't have to see something to believe it. Amen? Is the case of angels made? In Psalm 46:7, NLT says, the Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. I told you, he's called the Lord of heaven's armies. The army of angels, Psalms 46:7, NLT. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Now, I'm going to conclude. When I started, I told you about the protection of the Lord, just like the health system of the Lord, the economic system of our kingdom. The protection of the Lord is not limited. So, did you know, especially those of you in Africa, there are many things that you claim to be an African heritage, which is just something that the enemy uses. And there is no African devil and an Asian devil. The devil is the devil. Amen? So, you know, even the things of witchcraft, you think it's African, isn't it? Witchcraft. Because the things I was telling you about, the physical protection and that, now with witchcraft, there's nothing physical there. It's done in the spiritual realm. So again, we want to see if your God can protect you even from witchcraft. Some of us are unbewitchable. Amen. Yeah. So, the other time I said, I have a problem with you if you say you are being bewitched. Sorry, maybe to put it that harshly. But the right way is, as a child of God, you are protected even from witchcraft. Do you want me to give you a scripture? Okay, Mr. MJ, go with us to the book of Numbers. Chapter 23. Verse 19 to 23 in the Good News Translation, GNT. So, why I like the Lord and I like the Lord's protection that is that it's all encompassing. You know, even our people, this is at least the one part where our people, especially those in the native African thing, they will say, the white people cannot see. This is the things of our people. It's not physical, this thing. They know there is something beyond the natural, isn't it? And the good thing with my God is that whether it's from people or it's not of people, he deals with it. So I'm well covered in every respect. Numbers 23:19 to 23, Good News Translation says, God is not like people who lie. He is not a human being who changes his mind. Whatever he promises, he does. He speaks and it is done. I've been instructed to bless, and when God blesses, I cannot call it back. I foresee that Israel's future will bring her no misfortune or trouble. The Lord their God is with them. They proclaim that he is their king. You see, you've got to proclaim. God has fought for them out of Egypt. He fights for them like a wild ox. You know, God, that's how God fights for me. But look at this verse 23. There is no magic charm. The next one. Is it in the Bible? No witchcraft that can be used against the nation of Israel. Now people will say about Israel, look how what God has done for them. So no magic charm, no witchcraft against those of us who serve God. And my case is closed. Amen. 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 It's clear, isn't it? Yeah. So don't fear. You go back to Limpopo, go back to the Eastern Cape. You know, like when I grew up, there were these things, man. I don't know, some of you in rural areas, you would be sleeping and then there would be like footsteps around the hut the whole night, and then you couldn't sleep well. And then unfortunately they told us that those spiritual things, if you speak, your voice will go away. Then we would be very much scared. Now, since I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I wanted to make an experiment. I wanted to exercise the power. Now they don't come. Amen. Because I wanted to say, in the name of Jesus, you are arrested wherever you are. Now they don't come. When I sleep like a baby. Even when I visit deep rural areas, they don't come. Amen. We've got all the protection. Amen. Says, no witchcraft can be used against me. You need to speak that and have the confidence and the boldness that God is on your side. And you've got this angelic protection, the guardian angels. In Jesus' name, amen. So we can stand up and thank God for the word that we've heard.